Welcome to our paranormal afterlife. This is episode 211 of Paranormal Stories. This episode, I'm reading from Admir Serrano's book, Nights on the Other Side, How I Discovered My Immortality. When I have guests on my podcasts, I read their books to work out questions for the episodes. When reading these books, I always find such amazing information that never makes it into the podcast. And here, I get a chance to give you a peek into the book. I've put a link to the book in the show notes, and I did seek permission to record this extract, and the author kindly said yes. I'm going to be reading from chapter 18, which is called What Happens After Death. And this is what Admir has written. I'm flying in the darkness of night and land among a group of young men, four or five of them, dressed in regular earth clothes. We're on the edge of a town partially lit by streetlights. There's a sidewalk some 10 feet from where we are. Intuitively, I know these young men are spirit entities, no longer living physical life. As I land, a member of the group points to a young man standing on the sidewalk. I look at him and see his head wrapped in a white bandage. That kid over there, he says in Portuguese, he had a brain surgery yesterday. Didn't work. I walk over to the young man and stand by his side. He's visibly bewildered, completely lost. He's staring at a building on a corner of a street diagonally to us. The building looks modern, with several floors and transparent windows, through which I see light inside. He doesn't seem to notice me. Hello, friend, I say in Portuguese. How'd you like the city? A bit strange, he says, without looking at me. I've come to work, he says, pointing to the building he's staring at. The company I work at should be around here. I've been walking around looking for it, but can't find it. Where are you from? I ask. Uberlandia, he replies, referring to a major city in the Brazilian state of Minas Gerais. What do you do there? Finance. I work in the finance department. Oh, I see. I put an arm around his shoulder. You don't have to worry about it anymore, I say. Things have changed a bit. I turn him around. Come with me, I say. I walk him down to the group. As soon as the young man approaches, he's lovingly surrounded by the group. Knowing my job is done, I take my leave. Shortly after, I wake up in my body. What will you feel? Though natural to all living beings, nobody likes to talk about death, or to think about it for that matter. It's the most feared event among humans. It's something very unlikely to occupy your mind. After all, there are more pleasant things to worry about, aren't there? But come it will, and you'll survive. Then you're at a loss. You've been caught unawares. For a time, you'll find yourself in a strange place, like this young man. But you're still yourself. You have a body and a mind. You can think, you can see, you can hear, you can speak, you can discern. You remember who you are, where you're from, and what you did for a living. You remember your name, your folks, your friends. Nothing's changed, just this strange place. You might think you're dreaming, or worse, that you're stuck in a nightmare you can't wake up from. You'll be watched, however, from the moment you land on the other side. But you might fail to notice it. You don't notice it because you're focused on the business of figuring out what's happening to you. Nothing seems to make sense. That's where your full and undivided attention is. Everything else is blanked out. Where am I? What's happening to me? What's this place? You'll wonder. It's like waking up from a deep sleep. You need some time to get your bearings. That's what's happening to this young man. In the prime of physical life, death was the last thing he'd think about. And that's understandable. It's the norm, not the exception. He's at a loss, but not alone. A multitude of spirit entities, other humans, no longer living physical lives, the angels of the Lord, trained to assist the recently dead, are always ready to lend a hand. And spiders like me, along with countless others, are also trained to help bring about a happy ending. The newly arrived can notice us more easily because we're still connected to our physical bodies. So in a way, we're more visible to them than entities whose spirit bodies are more subtle. They might have been in the non-physical condition for quite a while. Thus, the recently dead have more difficulty noticing them. One night, I was in a spirit colony walking down a street in the company of a young woman who had been in spirit for a while. Suddenly she says, in Portuguese, "You're different from us." "How so?" I ask. Both our arms were bare. She raised her right arm halfway, close to my left. I raised mine and put it next to hers. "You're a bit more purple," she says. Pondering about it as I awoke, I wondered if the blood circulating through my physical body would somehow make my spirit body a bit more purple. Perhaps it does. This difference could explain this young man having noticed me before noticing the spirit entities. Now that he had noticed them, permanent residents like him, he'd be instructed about his new life on that side of reality. He'd be shown all the opportunities available for the continuation of his spiritual growth and development. Like here on the earth plane, life on the other side can be boring for the lazy and the idle, and awesome for the active, the adventurous, and the knowledge-seeking. What you'll feel depends on much of your ideas and beliefs about the afterlife, if any. You might be bewildered at first, not realizing what's happening, or you might understand the situation right away with no qualms about it. If you didn't believe in soul survival, you might be pleasantly surprised to find you're still alive. Or if you were a hardcore denier of the afterlife and find yourself still alive, you're going to give the teachers and us spiders a hard time convincing you that you're dead. In the end, you'll realize it. I can assure you of that. And once you finally realize you're still alive, you'll be surrounded by those no longer living physical life and perhaps receive occasional visits from us spiders. How will you communicate with them and us? How you'll communicate. There are two ways you communicate when you're in spirit life, possibly three. When I'm on the other side at a close distance with discarnate spirits or with other spiders, that is, with other out-of-body experiences, communication is oral. We speak with our mouths. At least that's how it appears to be. When at a distance, communication is mental. But there are exceptions here. For instance, many a time when I travel with a guide by my side, even though we are close, communication is mental, mind to mind. You hear a voice in your head and you reply to it by thought. The language of communication, in my case, is either English or Portuguese, sometimes Spanish. Around Brazil, either close to the surface or on the surface itself, as you've seen in my experience on the farm with the cows or in the city of Botucatu, the discarnate are or were Brazilians and the language Portuguese. There are colonies above the surface as well. In one of my experiences, I visited my late mother in the colony she was in. I asked someone where the colony was located and was told it was somewhere above the states of Rio de Janeiro and Bahia. They are neighbouring states. In other places I've been, like around the United States, the Caribbean, India, Korea, Europe, Africa, New Zealand, that I can remember, communication was in English. In a few cases, communication was in Spanish. And in Italian, in my experience in the Vatican. I'm very observant when I'm out of body, and when my level of lucidity is high, I pay as much attention to details as possible. One night, I was in a community in a low region. It was a small colony with streets and simple houses. The place was dark, likely reflecting the inner state of the inhabitants. I landed on a street that appeared to be the main street of the colony. There was a young lady, a spirit entity, waiting for me. She was a worker there, a rescuer as they're sometimes called. We greeted each other and began walking down the street. She was taking me to meet and talk to a young man who, since arriving in the colony, had parked himself standing against a wall of a building, without ever leaving or talking to anyone, smoking one cigarette after another. Of course, the cigarettes were of his own mental creation. As the young lady spoke, I observed the movement of her mouth. The words and phrases she spoke I heard in my head, not through my ears, in Portuguese, Amazingly, I knew she was speaking French, probably the native language of her previous incarnation, and somehow got simultaneously translated into Portuguese in my head. It was like watching a dubbed movie in real life, where the movement of the actor's mouth doesn't match the language you hear. Since French and Portuguese are both Romance languages, that is, having Latin in their root, perhaps translation would be easier in Portuguese than English. Today I was reading from Admir Serrano's book, Nights on the Other Side, How I Discovered My Immortality. If you want to buy the book, there is info and a link in the show notes. And my book on verified near-death experiences is out on Amazon. You can get it on paperback, audiobook, or Kindle. And if you enjoy this episode, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.